Please open your Bibles at the passage we read just a few minutes ago, Luke chapter 24. What a sweet passage this is. Those words that we read from verse 13 right through to the end of the chapter contain a wonderful story, one with such powerful application to all of our hearts, even today, some 2,000 years after it all took place. This is what I love about the Bible. It's timeless. Never forget that. It never becomes irrelevant. It is never outdated. The needs of man never change. Therefore, the cure that God has provided for man doesn't need to change. And God is speaking to us today through His Word with just the same relevance and power as ever He has done throughout the ages. Today I want to look at the verse 27 of this passage. Verse 27 reads, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Let's have a word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray as a preacher that I may learn from the Lord Jesus, as here I read of Him preaching. And I pray for each one of us here that we may learn from what is said the Savior did for those to whom He was speaking, and that we might embrace the very truths that were directed at these two on the road to Emmaus. Lord, speak to us today. O blessed Spirit of God, come with power upon Thine own word, and open our hearts to receive it. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I must learn as a preacher from what it is the Savior here is doing. He is seeking to console, to comfort, to guide, to help, to inform, to enlighten the hearts of two disciples who were very much cast down as a result of what had happened at Calvary and their ignorance that what was happening at Calvary was the outworking of God's eternal purpose. Christ's answer to that dilemma? Preach the word. Preach the word. I cannot extol enough the preaching of the word of God. That is God's way of ministering to you and to me. In the book of Revelation, we read about a tree, the leaves of which were for the healing of the nations. Well, here's a book, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nation. This book, and this book only, contains medicine for the soul. And it's all the medicine the soul will ever need. And as you and I come here today, irrespective of what it is we need, whatever our state may be, here is the book with the answer. I want to think then of what it is we read in this verse 27. I'm going to read it again, for that's ever so essential. Ever so essential. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Let me make a very elementary point here at the very beginning, and that is this. Christ is to be found everywhere in the Scriptures. Everywhere in the Scriptures. That's something we should remember when we are reading the Bible. I know that there are favorite passages in the Scriptures. But just remember this. No matter where you turn in the Bible, there you will find the Lord Jesus. It's a bit like gold or other precious metals. There are places on the earth where treasures are to be found near the surface. You could nearly turn them up by scraping the surface of the earth with your shoe. And there are other places you have to dig down and mine down into the depths. But there's precious elements to be found there. And so it is with God's Word. There are passages in which the truth and the glories of our Savior lie so close to the surface, and our eye falls upon Him and His beauty as soon as we open that page. But there are other passages, and we have got to think a little, mine a little, dig a little, work a little. But just remember this, He is there in every place. Look at that verse and what it says. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. He was to be found in all the Scriptures. And that's a very important truth for us to learn. It's a truth that is repeated, of course, throughout the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus, in John's Gospel, the chapter 5 and the verse 39, said this, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Search them out. Look for them. That's why we read the Bible. And why we must give diligence to our reading of the Bible. Reading it as we would searching for something. You will not find something by not turning your attention to that which you're searching for and paying attention to everything that your eye falls upon. So it is we should read the Bible. You'll not find Christ if you don't search. In Acts chapter 10, and here we have the words of Peter the Apostle, and he says in chapter 10, and this is a favorite verse of mine, so often I have quoted this throughout my years of preaching. Chapter 10, verse 43. And to him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What were the prophets preaching? They were preaching Jesus. And they were preaching that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That was the message of the prophets. That was the heart, the core, the essence of their message. Paul the Apostle summarizes his ministry in Acts chapter 26, the verse 22. He's giving his testimony here before Agrippa. And he says, verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day." Could I stop there for a moment and say something? As someone who has almost reached the end of their ministry, it is the greatest joy to be able to utter those words. I have continued on to this day. I have continued on to this day. Paul said that. And he joyed in that. He joyed in that. "I have continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." You're old-fashioned, Paul, if you never moved on in your day from anything that the prophet said and Moses said. Is that all you preach? Yes, that's what I confine myself to. And happy is the man who, in like fashion, confines himself only to the sayings of the prophets and Moses and those who are inspired of God to follow in their footsteps. What is it the prophets and Moses said? Verse 23 tells us that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. You know, some think that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ following his death at Calvary was a sort of an afterthought by God, a plan B by God. That the Lord Jesus had come into the world to actually set up a kingdom, and it didn't work out because the Jews didn't receive him, so therefore plan B came into operation, which was Calvary. That's nonsense. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from before the foundations of the earth. And here we find that the prophets and Moses had spoken of Christ's sufferings. God had only one plan. He only needed one plan, and that plan he kept to. So the scriptures, everywhere, reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. From the dawn of time, man has been given a revelation of the Lord Jesus. Man has been given a revelation of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 5 and the verse 46. Listen to what the Savior says. It's important that we verify from the very lips of the Savior what it is I'm asserting here. John chapter 5 and the verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He wrote of me. That's who Moses wrote of, the Savior. He wrote of his coming. He wrote of his humility. He wrote of his ministry. He wrote of his incarnation. He wrote of his rejection. He wrote of his death, of his sufferings. He wrote of his resurrection and of his ascension to glory. And you say, well, where did he write those things? Well, if I were to go no further than to the book of Leviticus, which is one of the books of Moses, and there you have all the sacrifices, and they all speak of Christ. They all speak of Christ, the spotless one, offered for sinners, a sacrifice, a substitute, by which atonement was made, peace with God, and God's blessing was brought down upon his people. Moses wrote of Christ. He wrote of Christ. All the scriptures declare Christ so that man, from the very dawn of time, have had opportunity to hear of Christ. I have mentioned in a former message, not on the same topic at all, but nevertheless I have mentioned that little statement in the book of Jude that we have written for us. Jude, the chapter, well, there's only the one chapter, but the verse 14, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these," and the word "these" refers to the false prophets who were infiltrating the churches in the days of Jude. That's the "these." "He prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." That's what Enoch preached. You know, I was reading just the other day at the beginning of the book of Genesis. Let me commend to you, since we are very close to the commencement of a new year and it's not too late for you to start, if you haven't started, to use Robert Murray McShane's calendar of Bible readings. If you follow his scheme, you'll read your way right through the Bible. And if you follow it year in, year out, you'll find it every year a greater blessing to follow the scheme that he devised. Well, I was following his scheme, and that brought me to Genesis at the beginning of the year, and I was reading just the other day of the early generations in Genesis. Tells you when the sons and descendants of Adam were born, year by year. And you can calculate out exactly when Adam died and who was alive and what age they were. Do you know that Adam would have lived till Enoch was about 300 years of age? Adam died just 57 years before Enoch was translated to heaven. So I haven't any doubt that Adam heard Enoch preach. For all we know, we heard him speak those very words that are recorded in the book of Jude. He was there at that meeting that Jude is referring to. He heard that prophecy that Jude is referring to. I would have no difficulty accepting that that was so. For I'm sure Jude would have repeated that truth on many, many occasions. Every preacher does. And Enoch, or Adam rather, would have heard Enoch say that. So that from the very first generation of man, men were being told about the Lord Jesus. Not only his first coming, his second coming. His second coming. Because all the prophets gave witness. All the prophets gave witness to the Lord Jesus. And their witness is recorded throughout the scriptures. It's by this means. It's by this revelation of the Old Testament prophets that people were saved in the Old Testament. Did you ever wonder how people got saved in the Old Testament? Do you ever wonder how they got saved? There's some people, you know, who think they got saved because they had faith in the sacrifices they offered. No. No, they didn't get saved by that means. If they got saved that way, then that was a different way of salvation than the way of salvation that's revealed to us in the New Testament. No, they got saved the same way as men and women get saved today. You see, as the text says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the prophets spoke of Jesus. They didn't use his name. That is revealed to us in the New Testament. But they spoke of the person who in the New Testament we know to be called Jesus. And they spoke of him as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the only way to heaven. As the only way to heaven. We know, as is recorded for us in Ephesians, in that lovely chapter 2 of Ephesians, that the means of salvation is, as stated by Paul here, verse 8 of Ephesians 2, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
And that's how they got saved in the Old Testament too, you know. By faith. By faith.
Turn to what Paul tells us in Romans about Abraham. Romans chapter 4. We have given us Abraham's testimony. Romans chapter 4. The verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
That's how Abraham was saved. Abraham was justified by faith. He believed God. And God counted him as righteous in accordance.
One of the clearest Old Testament testimonies is given us in the book of Job. Now, it's believed that the book of Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. Oh, you say the book of Genesis is older, surely, because it deals with the beginning of all things. Well, no. The book of Genesis was written by Moses, who came many, many years after the beginning of the world. He was given the truth of creation by God. But the book itself was written long after the events. And it's believed that the book of Job deals with the life of a man who lived before, long before Moses. So it's likely, we don't contend about it, it's not important, but it's likely that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Now it tells us the testimony of a man who lived way back, at least as far back as Abraham, maybe a little further. And listen to what Job's testimony was. You have it in Job chapter 19. It's a very well known portion. Job chapter 19, the verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day. Here's a knowledge of the second coming. He knows his Redeemer's living. Back then, long before Bethlehem, he knew his Redeemer lived, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'll be resurrected out of the grave, and I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now there's a man with a wonderful knowledge of his Redeemer and the purpose and plan of God. And that was a long time ago. Here we have an evidence of the knowledge contained or understood by men in the dawn of time. And as the prophets came along, they expounded that same knowledge that Job is here expounding, proclaiming it to men, and it all centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It all centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Going back to John's Gospel, the chapter 8, the Savior said in the verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now how did Abraham see the day of Christ? He saw it in the words of God's promise to him. He saw it in God's purpose revealed to him. He saw what God was going to do. How that God would send one who would bless those who believed. And every nation on the earth that embraced the promise of God would be blessed. And so by faith, Abraham, in believing what God saw, or God said he would do, saw the fulfilling of those promises. The oldest promise we have in the Gospel is contained way back in chapter 3 of Genesis. And it's the first direct reference to the coming of the Messiah. It's Genesis chapter 3, and it's the verse 15. And God is speaking. Isn't it appropriate that the first mention of Christ should come from the lips of the Lord? He's speaking here, and he's speaking unto the devil. And the Lord says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice the use of the word His. He's speaking of a person here. He's speaking of that conflict between the devil and the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman is a person. It, her seed, it shall bruise thy head. And in bruising thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. You have the defeat of the devil by Christ at the cross, in which he was wounded in that conflict. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Calvary is mentioned there in Genesis chapter 3. That's what the Savior means when he says that all the prophets gave witness to him from the beginning of time. There is no difference between the Old Testament revelation and the New Testament revelation, except in this one point. Detail. If I was to take you now out of this building, I don't know where we would have to stand, but if we could find a point where we could look out on the moors, would we see anything different looking at that view of the moors from here than we would see if we were to drive 10 or 15 miles toward that which we see here and stand and look? You'd say, well, we'd see it a lot clearer. We'd see in more detail. We'd see possibly the animals, if there are any animals out today. We would see much more definition of the crags and the hillsides. Yes, we would. We would see more detail. But we wouldn't see anything different by way of content. And that's how it is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there is a revelation given us of Christ, which is not quite as detailed as the revelation given in the New Testament. But there is nothing given in the New Testament that is different from what is revealed in the Old Testament. Old Pastor Paisley, and I'm sure he was but quoting one of the old Puritans, but I remember him saying it, and I always attribute the statement to him. But he said to me when I was only starting out as a student, and I was just embracing everything that any teacher said back then, he said, In the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. But in the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. And if you sit and think about that statement, there you have the truth of God concerning his revelation. There is no difference between Old Testament and New Testament truth, except in the degree and the detail that is given. You look at Hebrews chapter 1, and there you will find this matter defined for us. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers or different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He didn't say anything different in the Old Testament than that which he has said in the New Testament through his Son. This is the truth of God. And may the Lord be pleased to help us to understand. The Savior himself came and began his ministry by saying, I'm not here to set aside the Old Testament. I'm here to fulfill the Old Testament. What he said sprang out of, grew out of, was an enlargement of the Old Testament message. So when we study the Scriptures, there we will find Christ no matter where we go. We leave our study there at this time, and may the Lord be pleased to bless it to our hearts. And may it generate in you a greater desire to see Christ as you read the Bible. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank thee for this blessed book. What a special book it is. Help us to reverence it. Help us to study it. Above all, help us to search it, that we might find the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.